fun, oh yeah. Recovery 101 is a sober show, the only place to go. Bruce and Shelley and Mark, let them light the spark to stay on the right track. Or just listen for fun to the 101, to the 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Brandon for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRAHAPAHA or any of them. They're A's.
Any of the A's.
We don't speak for them. We don't speak for the Anons either. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always with
Shelley
and Mark.
Shelley's like putting a new one of those protective coatings on her Kindle over there. Her Kindle Fire.
A Kindle coating?
Kindle coating.
The fire retardant?
I don't think it's a fire retardant, but it's supposed to keep your screen from getting screwed up.
It's a fire retardant.
I need another one on my phone, actually, because I was looking the other day and my screen looks kind of screwed up, and I'm like, yeah, probably time to peel that off and put a new one on.
Yeah.
They're brilliant, though. They work great.
They do.
Yeah. We were just talking. I watched Recovery 101, sponsored by Bill Piper. I went with Bill Piper to the shooting range, and Bill Piper drew a smiley face on the head of the target.
With a .22.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
That's cool.
Pretty quickly. He did it quick.
How's your weekend, Bruce?
Worked. Still working. It's Labor Day weekend. Still worked. Be working tomorrow on Labor Day. Had a good weekend. Hung out with our friend Bill Piper and did some stuff last week with him. Went down to the beach in Santa Monica and looked at some crazies down there and had like tiger shrimp on the pier. It was actually quite nice. And then worked the rest of the time. Had today off. Hung out at my favorite place ever, Fry's Electronics. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I love Fry's. They need to put a Fry's closer to us. I think an excellent place for Fry's would be right across the street from me. There's a building probably big enough to put a Fry's in.
No, that would not be a good idea. Do not put a Fry's across the street from me.
No, it'd be a great idea for them, though. Next closest Fry's like 20 minutes away, so
yep.
Be a good location for them, halfway between two freeways. It'd be all good. So, you know what that means.
What's it mean?
Well, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
Okay, we have shout-outs to Donald, Bill, Phil, Fran, Robert. Hi, Robert. I'm just saying hi. Brian. Did I say Brian? I don't remember. Anyway, all the usual suspects.
Bruce is working on his blood sugar.
Yeah, all of a sudden.
Are they good?
Yeah, no, but I mean, I'm working on bringing it up, my blood sugar.
I haven't even had one.
You should.
I don't know if I should.
Where's your Black Forest cake?
I had it yesterday. I had it was cake day early, so I can't have any today.
Oh, okay.
Shelly,
dropping weight.
Yeah, 2 whole pounds. What are you doing?
A week.
Let's see. In New York.
New York?
At the airport, Patrick Campbell was arrested.
That's a good one.
He was on his way out of the country. They believe that he was destined for Iran, and they found uranium hidden in the soles of his shoes. The shoes that were packed in his luggage. He hollowed out the soles of his shoes and put uranium in them. As a sample to take to whoever it was in Iran that he was on his way to meet.
Aren't they making their own uranium there in Iran?
Oh.
I believe that you need enriched uranium, and maybe they don't have enough. I don't know. But, okay, here's the stupid thing. He's got this uranium, these uranium samples in his shoes. They discover them. I don't know how, because I'm not exactly sure how a bomb-sniffing dog would get uranium. I don't know.
I'm sure a bomb-sniffing dog would be good at finding uranium.
It's a rock.
Yeah, but it's got a...
Was it enriched?
Wait, yeah, it's a rock. It doesn't so say... So it's cocaine, but...
Then it's a bomb material.
It didn't say enriched. It says purified.
Well, yeah, but you know what? Cocaine can be a rock, too. They don't have any problem finding that.
Well, at any rate, the real stupid thing was, okay, so he's got these rocks hidden in his shoes. There could have been a lot of ways that he could have explained that. He still would have gotten in trouble, but he could have explained that in many, many ways. I doubt it. For the fact that he left the flash drive with the details of the sale on it, or potential sale, in his luggage with the uranium. So, yeah, that was kind of a blow it.
I think having the uranium in your shoes is kind of a blow it, but, you know, that's just me.
Yeah.
He's busted now.
He got the 42 balloons of heroin through with no problem, though, because they found the uranium.
Yeah.
I think if I wanted to get, like, a piece of rock like that through security, I'd have it made into a keychain.
I'd FedEx it.
In plain sight. Throw my keys in the bowl, go through.
Uh-huh. UPS, baby.
People try to be too sneaky, I think, sometimes. And it's they get tripped up. They trip over their own feet.
When I was young, we used to mail cocaine.
Uh-huh.
Like through the mail. Like the regular mail.
Yeah. Who the hell could wait that long to get the cocaine? You have to send it Federal Express.
Mm. I don't know why we send it through the mail. It seems like that would be a highly dangerous thing to do nowadays.
And we had no problem traveling 100 miles to pick it up.
Yeah, but this was 1,000 miles. And if you sent it like two-day mail, you know, you wait till we were starting to run low.
Yeah.
And then have them send some more.
Okay.
Salt Lake City.
Utah.
This is it. One of those waste of water stories. Lizette Salgado. She's 23 years old. She was charged. Two counts of abuse and neglect of a disabled child.
Oh.
She left, which I don't understand how that it's a disabled child, but she left her 1 and 3-year-old kids a home alone, well, not home, but alone in a motel room while she went to a concert. The kids were found wandering around the parking lot of the hotel crying for their mother.
They were not supposed to leave the room.
What is it that you're...
What do you want, Bruce?
Kit.
Oh. You just shove three brownies down his gullet. Yeah. It's time to check his blood sugar.
Yeah.
No, she's been arrested, and
the
kids went along with the Child Protective Services. Let's see. Oh, we've got a couple of animal stories out of Detroit.
Are these wandering animals?
Many wandering animals.
Yeah, lots of wandering animals.
The zoo let out or something?
No.
Just people abandoned their animals. And
yeah, and they've bred, and now there are packs.
They're like packs of poodles running around together.
Yeah, and they've gone feral, so there's packs of wild dogs. The last estimate was 50,000 wild dogs running around in packs around Detroit, and they will attack humans. And because the city's cut down on all their services, they don't have enough animal control people to take care of the problem. So basically, unless someone gets attacked, they don't do anything about it. What is going on?
50,000?
Yes, that was the last estimate.
That's a lot of frickin' dogs.
Well, and that is not all. Oh no, that is not all.
Oh, yeah, there's more.
There is more. But wait, there's more.
Are any pigs?
No. However,
you leave a regular pig, like Babe the pig, like out on their own for like, it doesn't even take that long, like less than a month, they start to grow tusks.
Yeah.
Like actual real tusks. Like they turn into wild pigs and they're badass. Sorry, Shelley.
In northeast Detroit neighborhood, they're having a problem because somebody has decided that they don't want to take care of, or they've abandoned and left or whatever happened. I've seen a picture of it, and it looks like a jaguar roaming the neighborhoods. The dog or the cat, a wild feral cat roaming the neighborhoods, and it will stare people down and like faint like it's going to attack. And it has possibly been eating some of the dogs.
We should send Bill Piper there.
You know what?
Yeah, really.
I'll put a smiley face on him.
I'm not sure about this, but I'll bet it has not been eating the dogs. Because I don't know if you've ever noticed, but like when guys go hunting mountain lions and stuff, they use dogs because for some reason, not even that big of dogs will tree a mountain lion.
I'm pretty sure it might use a chihuahua as a snack if it was really that hungry.
But a pack of wild chihuahuas.
A pack of wild chihuahuas. Can you, the piranha face that chihuahuas get?
That's a chihuahua-nado.
Yeah.
that'll be the next thing on the Weather Channel. Chihuahua-nado.
At any rate, in this neighborhood, nobody can let their kids play outside. Nobody wants to go outside. The thing has been cornered and stared down.
Shoot it.
On several occasions. I know, it's Detroit. You'd think somebody would have shot it by now.
Cap that sucker.
But apparently
put
not.
Put a cap in its jaguar ass.
And again, we're back to the, we don't have enough animal control people to come out and take care of this, so the state Humane Society is coming to investigate.
Just let all the guys out there with guns just shoot it.
I know.
They're shooting everything else.
Well, and because Bruce was talking to somebody who said, oh, everybody thinks it's really horrible in Detroit. It's only one small area. It's not that bad. Every story I've read, they have an area of 40,000 streetlights all gone. They've got there's another area in Detroit where the city has basically any city services that existed there no longer exist. There's no post office. There's no postal. There's no police. There's no fire, nothing. So how can she say it's only one small area?
Well, I don't know how big Detroit is.
I don't know either.
And I don't know what is considered to be a small area. I mean, a small area might be 200,000 acres, which would be
a pretty
big area.
In Rhode Island.
Okay, well, at any rate, it's big enough to have 50,000 wild dogs and one wild jaguar.
One wild jaguar.
So things are not looking good in Detroit. Let's see.
They need to go do that helicopter shooting.
Yeah. They need to send a C-130 transport with the daisy cutter out the side. Just lay waste to everything in the area.
This is kind of an... I don't know. I read this story and I went, what the heck? Okay, this is Moscow, Russia. Now, up until the fall of communism in Russia, it was a very strict atheist country.
Soviet Express card?
So,
don't leave home?
If you were a practitioner of any particular faith, you did it in extreme secrecy.
Yes.
Because you could get sent to...
Siberia?
A gulag?
Yeah, out to one of the gulags. Apparently my phone has just left a message for me.
Yes.
At any rate...
Something was talking in the background.
So, you know, it's no longer like that now, to the point where the Orthodox Church is apparently in bed with the government. Putin is, really tight with the head of the Orthodox Church, and they have arrested a bunch of people who are members of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, also known as Pastafarians, who one day recently did a little stunt where they all put their colanders on their heads and marched through the streets, you know, quietly, just, and the church said that they were openly defying the church's authority and had them arrested. And the government is not backing down. Like,
no.
What? So they walk through the street with a colander on their heads. I'm not sure why there's a conflict, but there is.
Because, you see, that's actually what would help define the non-separation of church and state. We've taken separation of church and state and just made it stupid. That's really what it's about. Where the state says, this is your religion. If you practice something else, we're going to arrest you.
Well, apparently you're not allowed to practice the Pastafarianism because you're going to get arrested.
So next time people think separation of church and state is some picture hanging on some wall. That ain't it, guys. This is what it is.
Well, apparently there is a law in Russia now that it is a crime to insult the religious feelings of believers. And if you are found guilty of that, you can get 3 years in jail.
Wow!
Yeah.
So, you know, when I was a kid, the big scary monster was Russia. And if you got sent there, it was like being sent to jail. It was this horrible black hole of a place. And then you know, communism fell, and I'm thinking, oh, it's not so bad. I mean, they're going to get some democracy or whatever. And now, guess what? It's a scary black hole kind of a place. I don't want to ever go there because, yikes.
I just thought of something weird.
Yes.
Because, you know, we record shows ahead of, you know, ahead of time.
Yes.
Do you think by the time the show goes up, we'll be fully engaged in World War III?
No.
No?
No, because that what happened was a punt. He just bought time. That's all.
Yeah. He kicked the bazooka down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Because Congress can't come back till the 9th, so.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, Congress.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This show will be up before the 9th, so.
Yeah.
And our commander. Never mind.
All right. Well, never mind.
I'm not going to go there.
That thought just came up in my mind because there's a lot of.
Oh, the hell, I'm not going to go there. Our commander in chief can't make it.
There's a lot of things going on. And you said Putin, and I know Putin's big thing was, came out and said something like, prove it, you know, that it was the government that did it and not the rebels. And I was like, I don't think you'd be able to prove it one way or the other, so.
Okay, we're right on the borderline. I don't have any time, but I got to do this one. It's the hero or heroines of the week. So
heroine of the week?
Heroines of the week. they call themselves the Nine Nanas.
This the is Raven out of, Nine Nanas?
No, just the Nine Nanas. This is out of West Tennessee. They're nanas now. When this started, this has been going on for 3 decades. These nine women kept this secret. From their husbands, from the community, from everyone they helped, everything they did. No one knew who did this for 30 years. And it started because, you know, they had a friend that needed some help, but, you know, they were proud. They didn't want to accept the help, and the women were sitting around and decided that they were going to secretly help them out. They baked some, you know, pound cakes, got, you know, other foodstuffs together, made a little package, and just dropped it off for them just to help out. And since they didn't know who it was from, they accepted it because it didn't have the same hint of charity on it.
Right.
They were so excited about having done that because they are part of a bridge group. You know, they would meet like once a week.
The Nine Nanas.
They were so excited at how well that went over that they decided they wanted to do it some more. But then they thought, well, how are we going to finance this? Now, obviously, these women come from the rich part of town because they decided that if they started doing their own laundry, they could save the money. Their husbands would never know. Because they had a laundry allowance.
I thought it was going to be the Nine Nanas sponsored in part by Bill Piper.
No. So they... What?
Go ahead.
So they started doing their own laundry, ironing their husband's shirts. Their husbands never found out. And they managed to save $400 every month to fund these baskets that they put together to give to people that needed help. Then they started finding other ways. They would clip coupons. They would cut corners in other ways because they wanted. It became like an addiction almost. They wanted to save more and more money. They started paying people's utility bills. They recruited young women in the community to like eavesdrop in beauty parlors and grocery stores to find out who was in need. And then they would
secretly... In the beauty parlor. Here's a girl and they're getting her nails done. Wow, I don't have any food.
Well, no, they'd hear about other people that weren't there, the kind of thing. They would listen to gossip. And they spent 30 years going around helping people and never telling anybody, and their husbands never knew, and they did it all on their own dime.
Awesome.
And then one day one of their husbands noticed that there were some unusual, couple of, you know, small but unusual amounts, checks written out of the register, and the husbands found out about it. So now it has ballooned into a big charitable organization, but they don't take donations. If you join their group, you put in your own money. And they just go around, and it's spreading across the country. They have a website now.
Oh.
You can buy one of their pound cakes, and the money goes to their charity.
So pretty soon it's just like people helping each other.
Basically, yeah.
I think pretty soon our government's going to find a way to regulate that.
Well, our peanut gallery just doubled.
Wow.
Awesome. But I just think that was an awesome story. 30 years they were doing that.
Wow.
That's pretty fantastic. And it still continues. It's just gotten bigger.
And what's the website in case the viewers would like to go check it out? Or viewers, listeners?
I would say just look for Nine Nanas.
Well, you could probably. Oh, it's. Well, they call them Mama Ruth's because that was who the recipe was from.
Mama what?
Mama Ruth.
Mama Ruth.
I actually don't see the. You can buy Mama Ruth's pound cakes online, but it doesn't say.
Well, if you look up Mama Ruth's pound cake, yeah. I'm sure you'll find
it.
Or Nine Nanas.
Or Nine Nanas, yeah. They estimate that they have, in 35 years, they've contributed more than $1 million.
Good.
In charity directly to the people who need it.
Awesome.
Yep. Okay. And that's the end of the Boozy News.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Shout out
to the New Way Foundation.
And Sober College.
SelfHelpHappens.com.
.com, baby. So, Shelly, we have a topic. I had a burp. I had a burp, and we have a topic.
Well, we've been gone so long, I forgot what it was.
It's a culinary topic.
Oh, well, I don't do that, so I don't cook with booze.
Cooking with booze?
Yes, I guess a listener had asked us to discuss it again.
Well, we mentioned it a few shows ago. And
we've done entire shows on it before.
Well, we have, and there was banter back and forth. Even though the show was about marketing madness, there was like four people that mentioned the cooking with booze thing, and are like, "Well, maybe we should talk about that."
Okay.
Again.
Okay.
So, how do we want to attack it, Shelley? I cook my food. All the booze cooks out.
That's what you think.
Does.
It does not.
The alcohol does.
It does not.
Alcohol evaporates at 120 degrees.
It does not
yes,
all
it does.
Cook out.
Alcohol no, it evaporates at 120
degrees. The vapor
degrees.
Cooks up. The alcohol is still there. We have a table somewhere. We have a chart, a whole chart on this.
I don't care.
Da-da-da. Round one. Ding, ding. Shelly and Mark, round one.
We even did an entire show on the Food Network. Measuring how much alcohol is still in the food after you cook it.
You know what's funny? Cherry's Jubilee.
Yeah.
Which is cherries where they pour booze on it and then they light it on fire.
Yep.
It burns, 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 burns.
Yep.
95% of the alcohol is still in it, but all the alcohol vapor burned off.
Yep.
Now, let's do it this way, because certainly people that cook with booze, the intent is not to get drunk. Because if the intent is to get drunk, we're going to drink the booze while we're cooking instead of cook with the booze.
Yeah.
But we did a show once years ago. Matter of fact, I'm the only one that's still on the show from when this show was, but we were on a small radio station out in San Bernardino.
Uh-huh.
And the show ended up being called The O'Doul's Affair.
Uh-huh.
And what had happened is one of the hosts said he liked to drink O'Doul's. And he went across the street, bought a six-pack of O'Doul's, came back, slammed them all in a row. Wham, 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 wham.
That doesn't even sound enjoyable.
Well,
and it's O'Doul's.
And it's O'Doul's anyway. But I mentioned it to him. I'm like, we know that O'Doul's, even though it's non-alcoholic, it's got a small percentage of booze in it. And I'm like, why would you do that? You know? And he looked at me and he goes, well, you ever drink a glass of orange juice? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, you know, if you leave it sitting out on the counter, it gets a certain amount of alcohol content in it. And I said, well, I think the difference between, say, the ordinary listener who's drinking a glass of orange juice and you is, I don't know any ordinary listeners that turn around and slam six 12-ounce glasses of orange juice in a row to prove it's not doing anything to them. And Shelley and I one time were watching the Food Network, and because the common thing in food is that people say it cooks out. It's a common, lot of chefs will say that.
Yep.
And on the Food Network, they said, if you ever have a concern with wondering if that's true, tell the chef in a restaurant that I have an allergy to alcohol. Now, of course, if the booze cooks off the alcohol, the chef will say, go ahead and eat whatever you want because it all cooks off. But chefs won't ever do that. They'll say, then you shouldn't eat that. And you say, well, if the alcohol cooks off, why would the chef tell me that? Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't all cook off. Mm-hmm. Now, then the question comes up. Mm-hmm. Is it okay to cook with booze if you're in the program? Because this is a thing where there's varying opinions, and I'm not saying that any of them are right or wrong. I'm just saying that there's opinions.
Well, there aren't any. It doesn't say in the big book whether or not you can cook with booze.
No.
So it
doesn't
say
I can't slam cocaine in the big book either. Hey.
No. It
wow.
Doesn't.
Our peanut gallery
is
just
huge.
Tripled. It tripled.
It doesn't say anything about that in the big book. Therefore, it's up to the individual to determine what is right for them in their recovery. I would tell people that it's probably, if you're going to cook with booze, that means you're going to have booze in the house.
Yeah.
Well,
if you're new in the program, do you really want to, you're dancing with death. How much is your recovery worth? Is your recovery worth not having those alcohol-soluble compounds released?
The Jesus Christ of the program wrote that sometimes we keep alcohol in the house to...
I was going to say that same thing.
Say that in the big
Bill
book.
Bill W. said many of us keep alcohol in our homes to help fresh recruits through.
And that goes back to check your motives. What's your motive for having the booze in the house? If you're cooking with booze because then you get to have booze right next to you, and, ooh, there's an opportunity there. I mean, what is your true motive? Do you have any reservations, or are you trying? Is there a purpose of evasion?
And I'm going to call on Mark for this because I think most people's intention on cooking with booze is to unlock certain flavors in the food rather than to get drunk.
Fine. Is that really your intention?
Yeah.
Mark? You make linguine with clam sauce.
Okay. Some 6-month person who wants to make beer can chicken? Is that a good idea?
They should probably talk to their sponsor.
Okay.
Between them, God, and their sponsor. Now, if they make beer can chicken and eat the chicken, that's awesome. If they throw the chicken away and drink the juice that they use to make the chicken, they might want to think about what their intention was. But, you know, it's...
Well, Mark, you make linguine clam sauce.
I make linguine clam sauce with a white wine sauce. There are several shrimp dishes I make with a brandy and cabassier sauce.
What's the thing? There's a lot of the restaurant that we go to with my mom sometimes. They do like something that's
vodka sauce.
Yeah, like vodka sauces and stuff.
Vodka sauce is a great pink cream sauce. But it's once again, it comes down to if I picked somebody up and took them to their first meeting, and then took them and to have dinner afterwards, I probably wouldn't take them home and make a shrimp cabassier.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not the best thing. How about people are trying to find a plug. There's plugs in the kitchen that definitely work. The one by the microwave. We're plugging in phones and things. We've got charging
we're
going
charge
on here.
Central here.
Charge Central, yes.
Yeah, maybe that guy that came by in the middle of the night, that one night I'll come by and want to charge his phone again. Yeah.
Guy show up in the middle of the night, like 3 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Hey, can I charge my phone? I'm like,
but
Sketcher.
Here's a question for you. Last Friday, hi, Bob. The animals are out. Last Friday, I made Uh-oh, we have a disaster here.
Last Friday.
Last Friday, I made cookies for a meeting. And I use real vanilla when I cook.
Yes.
I use real butter. I use real vanilla. I use real ingredients because it just tastes better. So I made cookies for 20 people at a meeting. I made 50 chocolate chip cookies, and they were gone by the time we got done with the readings.
And one guy ate 37 of them.
Could be, but are these people all now newcomers?
I don't think so. I don't think that, to be honest with you, I don't think that people that eat food that's cooked in booze, it makes them go out at all.
No.
The only reason why I don't eat stuff cooked with booze is because if I know there's booze in it, even if it's a minute amount, I equate that with, then why can't I just, if my intention is I've got a sore tooth, you take a little gum shot of cocaine, put it on that tooth, it'll make it numb.
I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, but see, to me, that's going out.
Well.
I think for me, it's I'm so anally retentive about my recovery.
I don't think you're worried about a gum shot for a sore tooth as going out. I think what the fear is I will go out over that.
Well, right, exactly.
I will stop there.
And I might do that if I think that eating something cooked with booze is okay, then maybe next time, maybe if there's a little more booze in it, it doesn't really matter. Next time, maybe a little more booze and it doesn't matter. Then I'm having cherries flambe where 95% of the booze is still in it. And that's what worries me.
Well, what worries me more is if I have a recipe that I'm cooking with and I add brandy, if I were to decide it was okay to just add half the brandy to the recipe and drink the other half, that might be an issue.
Who are you, Graham Kerr?
Yeah.
Remember him?
Yeah.
The Galloping Gourmet?
Yeah.
This guy'd be hammered by
Justin
the end of the
Wilson.
Show. And who is the other one? Julia Child.
Yeah. Yeah, Justin Wilson was my favorite. Yeah.
We'll put a little
wine for the chick, a little wine for the chick, a little wine for the chef.
Yeah, it'd be hammered by the end of the show.
Oh, yeah.
The thing on the Food Network, what was that guy's name, Shelley? The show.
Oh. I've forgotten him.
Well, it was a very like a scientific show. What they do is they look at all these things you'd hear about food, and then they go in and they do all these tests, and they'd tell you if the thing was true or not. And his thing, they weren't really talking about alcoholics at all, but what this guy's, I think what the focus of the show is, what if you're allergic to alcohol?
Uh-huh.
And they're like, if you've got an allergy to alcohol, then you got to really be careful when you go to restaurants where they say it cooks all the booze out because you're liable to have an allergic reaction.
But here's my question. If you're allergic to alcoholic beverages, there's more things in alcoholic beverages than just alcohol. There's an alcohol content to the beverage.
Yes.
A glass of wine has 12 to 15% alcohol in it.
Right.
So if 85% of the wine is still there, your allergy could be to something else in the wine that probably isn't the alcohol, because the alcohol is created by fermenting out the sugars.
True. Jelly, opinions, comments, questions?
About what?
What we've been talking about.
What we've been talking
about. I know, but which aspect of that? I mean, what are we...
What Mark was just saying.
She wasn't listening.
I know, I was. I just don't think that we need to get that scientific about it. Keep it simple.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Shelly. I mean, keep it simple, stupid.
I don't think... For my recovery, personally, I don't need to get that in depth with it.
I don't either.
I just don't do it. There's no legitimate reason
like
Nancy
Reagan, just don't do it.
Yeah, exactly. There's just no legitimate reason for me to say, oh, I really need those alcohol-soluble compounds in my food because, frankly, I smoke. I can't taste crap.
Well, wait,
if it doesn't have salt on it.
No, wait. Shelly is quite a cook, as is Mark. Now, let me ask you this because I've also heard this on the Food Network. The reason why people cook with booze is it unlocks flavors in a different way than if you weren't cooking with booze.
Sure.
Can you unlock said flavors with items other than alcohol?
Sometimes, but it depends on what it is.
No.
I mean, there are recipes that are designed with things like vinegar or other acids or something that are supposed to mimic that, simulate that. Sometimes people will use apple juice as a but that's just adding real, that's really just adding sugar. So it sort of layers another flavor on top of it. It just, it's not exactly the same.
Now, I will tell you, I've been to Mark's house before. He's made linguine with clam sauce, made it without alcohol because I'm there.
Yep.
Tastes bitching to me. And maybe it's that I don't notice the difference between.
Well, you don't have anything to compare it to. It tasted fine to you for.
Yeah,
what
but
it
I used
was.
To eat linguine with clam sauce back in the day before I ever got sober.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't eat them like right next to each other either.
I realize I'm just that good, but.
Oh yeah. Where's that humble trophy? It's right next to him. It's right next to him. So,
and then again, you would never know if I used wine or not. I told you I didn't, but would you ever really know?
I wouldn't. And see, you know, that's another thing. Like we had a discussion before. I'm sitting in a sushi restaurant. This guy hands me this orange thing. I pick up the orange. I start to stick it in my mouth. And the moment it hits my mouth, I'm like, I still got it in my mouth. I'm looking at the guy. I'm like, you're from orange. And the guy goes, yeah, it's orange. I'm like, is it from orange? And he goes, plum wine. And I'm like, puh. Because I'm really sensitive, especially to wines. I can tell when I'm in the room with wine. It's like wine was one of those drinks I could never drink. I wine cooler maybe, but I was never like a wine drinker. Shelley was a wine drinker, but I'm really sensitive to wine. And I was just like, the moment it hit my mouth, I'm just like, something's not right already. It kind of almost like when we talk about intent, it kind of comes down to the thing, if you're at a party and you pick up someone else's drink and you don't realize it, and you take a slug of it, I don't consider that going out. Unless you purposely knew it was someone else's drink and you're trying to get the booze. But if you pick up a Coca-Cola and it's a whiskey and Coke that someone else had and you took a sip of it and then you went, shit.
Yeah. I don't consider that going out. If you pick up a Coca-Cola bottle of mine and take a sip out of it, you get whatever you get.
Ew.
Because I do use Coca-Cola.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for the spits.
Because I chew a bit, so.
Chewing tobacco. I'll tell you, there's nothing grosser than when I lived in Oregon, and I've done it. Pick up a bottle, you go to have a swig, and you're like, oh.
No.
Yeah.
I just French kissed some guy.
Yeah, really, really, really disgusting. So, Shelley.
Yes.
What are your final words on cooking with booze?
I don't know. In a restaurant, if you aren't that worried about it, you're in a restaurant, I'm not going to get all up in somebody's pecs about their food choices in restaurants. But I would say if you're cooking in your home, you better be darn sure you know what you're doing. But, for me, I just keep it simple. Just don't keep it in the house. I don't need to cook with it. If I ever get the desire to have linguine with clam sauce with a white wine sauce, I'll go over to Mark's house.
You'll enjoy it.
There you go. Mark, final words.
Get a little time. And if you eat food that has been cooked with some sort of alcohol in it, and you find yourself behind a dumpster on MacArthur Park a week later.
On the nickel.
And you come back to the program, and you're fine, and you're doing well, and you eat something that's cooked with booze, and a week later you find yourself behind a dumpster in MacArthur Park, you might want to not do it anymore.
Fine words to live by.
That's right. Try a little controlled eating and see what happens.
My final words would be, like this show said, if you think that all the alcohol cooks out, go to a restaurant and tell the chef that you're allergic to alcohol and see if he says it's okay to eat it. Book tells me I have an allergy to alcohol. And my thing is not whether I've gone out or I'm getting drunk. My problem has always been I just don't want to take the chance of possibly kicking off the phenomenon of craving. Mark!
Yes?
Who's our friend back east?
That'd be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication online. You can get it emailed to you. You can get the subscription prescription. He'll send it to you via the United States Postal Service. If you have a recovery home or a sober living or someplace where many of us sick gather, contact Bruce and he will send you some hard copies in the mail to strew about the facility.
He certainly will, for free and for fun, like this show. Shelley, people listen to the show.
I'm fascinated that they do. If you, any way you listen is great, is great, and we appreciate it. But if you could go to recovery101.net, click on one of the shows, click on like. If you are a member, you'll be, you've just been counted. That helps us with our numbers. If you're not, you will have the opportunity to become one. It is free
and fun.
And you can find out when we post automatically, get automatic updates of when we post the shows. You can friend us. You can leave old topic. You can leave likes and topics on old shows, but try to leave them close to the top so Bruce sees them. And you can follow us and put us on your playlists for all your party needs.
Sweet. If you are a Facebook-friendly person, you can like the Recovery 101 show page at Recovery 101 Radio. If you'd like to join the Recovery 101 Radio group, that is a closed group. You post stuff in there about recovery. No one will see it, so you can keep your anonymity in that fashion. We've got an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. If you'd like to join the crack advertising staff, that's recovery...
Recovery 101.
Mark brought some brownies, and they were hash brownies.
What did you cook your cereal with?
The brownies.
Recovery101radio@gmail.com. Recovery101radiosales@gmail.com.
Thank you.
We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
Shelly, who's the lead-out music by?
By Matt Land.
Matt Land. Everybody try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Holds a lifetime, a journal as our face. We look back to find our place. Time losing your mind to things.